Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, continuing our conversation on Pelicans versus Kings tomorrow night play-in elimination game. Happy to welcome in James Hamm, who covers the Kings on ESPN 1320 in Sacramento and also on the Kings beat. How you doing, James?
Good. How are you guys doing?
All right. We're obviously going to be missing our main man, Zion Williamson, for this matchup against Sacramento. Crazy, though, to think that this is the sixth meeting this season between the two teams. Obviously, the Pels have come out on top the previous five. And I got to tell you, no Zion Williamson and that, you know, oh, it's going to be hard to beat a team six straight times in 1 year has got a lot of fans here worried, James.
Yeah, it's an interesting battle here. I'm not sure that I buy into the difficulty of beating the Kings without Zion. New Orleans handled the Kings just fine without him earlier in the season, beating Sacramento by, 33 points. I think this is going to be a really interesting matchup. If you look at the way the Kings played against Golden State, they were all over the place defensively. They were absolutely spectacular on the defensive end. If they bring that type of intensity to this game, then it's going to be a really, really close matchup. If they don't, then I think we'll see a lot of the same. We'll see a lot of the Pelicans just kind of trucking right over the top of the Kings. So I'm intrigued to see which Kings team shows up.
Looking at the Sacramento lineup heading into this matchup, how are the nicks and bruises there? Is there anybody not expected to be taking part in tomorrow's action?
Yeah, of course, we have Kevin Huerter who's out for the season after having left shoulder surgery, dislocated it, about a month ago. And, of course, you've got Malik Monk, who will not play in this game, which is the biggest blow of all to the Sacramento Kings, especially, you know, Monk has this incredible ability to get downhill, to attack the key, and to find Sabonis for maybe three or four easy buckets every single game. And without him, Sabonis' offensive numbers are down a little bit, and the Kings overall offensively are down. But Keon Ellis has stepped in and played extremely well in his place. Davion Mitchell has stepped up, so it'll be intriguing to see how they kind of fill that void there that's left by Monk.
I've always kind of liked the idea that the three-point line is the great equalizer for a lot of teams, and it was that way against the Warriors. I don't even know if it was a great equalizer because, I mean, the Kings just blew them out in that first play-in tournament game, and I was keeping an eye on it, obviously, once the Pelicans lost to see who the matchup would, in fact, be for that 8-9 game. And just seeing what Keegan Murray did, like, I know that, you know, the Kings have their whole thing where they chant his name and they do the Keegan Murray or whatever, but he was outstanding. I mean, that was one of the best games, and I've watched the Kings play it multiple times this year. He can light it up from distance, but going 8 of 13 from deep, like, that was one of the best games I've ever seen him play. I mean, he's one of those guys that I'm a little bit nervous about coming into this game because he's such an X factor, it feels like, for Sacramento's offense.
Yeah, he is a total X factor. And, you know, we saw it early in the season against Utah where he went for 47. And I don't think anyone knew that he had that in him. But last season he did set the rookie record for most three-pointers. And he has this ability, especially coming off that high DHO, the dribble handoff with Domantas Sabonis, to just create a little bit of space for himself. He was on fire. And when he comes out aggressive like that, we haven't seen him go 5 of 10 in the first quarter like that, where he absolutely came out hunting his shot. If he's going to hunt his shot, he makes him very dangerous, because once you start to adjust and try to take him away a little bit, that's when you start getting Fox cooking. That's when Sabonis breaks loose a little bit. And the Kings are very dangerous, especially from behind the arc, but they're also spotty. So they haven't shot the ball consistently well from behind the arc all season long. Clearly, even from last season to this season, they were a much better three-point shooting team last year with Herter, with Monk in the fold. But also, I think guys like Trey Lyles had better shooting seasons. And so we'll have to see how Keegan can kind of, if he can be that second/third scorer for Sacramento, it'll be an interesting night.
James, for you, what is it about this Pelicans lineup that causes the Kings so many issues?
So length and the athleticism. And then on top of that, you know, there's a physicality that the Pelicans play with. The Kings are playing with that physicality right now, especially if you look at their defensive rating since the All-Star break. They've been really, really good defensively. But that's kind of who the Pelicans are, and they come at you with waves with very similar players, these long athletic guys that the Kings just don't match up well against. The Kings don't have a 6'7" guy with a 7'1" wingspan. They don't have a 6'9" guy with a 7'3" wingspan. And so they really do struggle with all of that athleticism and length that you find with the Pelicans roster. But they also struggle with Zion. And without Zion there, it does change the dynamic greatly because they do so much work to try to wall him off that it frees up a little bit, not for CJ and not for Brandon Ingram, but it's the other guys who have really cooked the Kings, whether it's Trey Murphy, whether it's Herb Jones, or even Valanciunas getting loose a little bit. So if the Kings can limit those guys because Zion's not there, I think they've got a shot.
James, I think it'll be interesting to see who kind of controls the pace of this game. Like, just watching the Kings play, it seems like they really like to get out and get fast with it. And without Zion, maybe the Pelicans could have done a little bit more of that. But without him, I think you're going to see a lot more set offense from the Pelicans against a Kings defense that's been kind of up and down. I would be kind of saying that. Just your thoughts on, you know, the tempo that the Kings want to play with, led by, you know, one of the fastest players in the NBA and De'Aaron Fox. And I mean, Nick Friedel, who we talked about too in the last hour, called him the head of the snake for this Kings squad, the leader, the clear best player of this team. I think you could also make the argument for Domantas Sabonis, but I mean, just seeing how he can kind of set the pace for this Sacramento offense is definitely something that the Pels will have to be worried about.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, what we saw against the Warriors where the Kings were just deadly in transition, but it was also really fired up by their defense. They get a ton of deflections, especially just look at their defensive numbers. I think they're eighth in the league in defensive rating since the All-Star break. And, you know, if they can play that type of defense, that incredibly aggressive, steal-based, deflection-based defense, then they get you in transition. And so while you're trying to adjust to the transition defense, then they play really fast within the half court. So it's not just that they get the ball out after a made basket or that they push the tempo off a defensive rebound. They also play when they're in the half court and they start rolling offensively. The ball moves very quickly. The players move very quickly. And that's where I think a lot of teams have struggled to adjust to the Kings, especially, you know, again, last season where they put up last year, the highest offensive rating of all time. So they're a fast team. Even Davion Mitchell started playing a much, much faster pace as the backup point guard. And you got to see how it carries over, though. This is, you know, the refs have swallowed the whistle for the last couple of weeks. And that definitely lends itself to like a different style of basketball, more physical style. So we'll have to see if the Kings' pace and space works with the sort of playoff style of officiating in basketball that's going on right now.
We definitely have that feeling down here after what happened with that Lakers game. I mean, the free throw line was a big difference maker in that matchup with the Pelicans' loss to LA in the second game. So also another player I already kind of talked a little bit about, De'Aaron Fox, but the other guy that I mentioned, if you're looking at this Kings roster, like these two guys just stick out like a sore thumb. De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, two all-star caliber players. What can you tell us about the year that Sabonis has been having?
Yeah, Sabonis has had one of the great seasons that we've seen for a big man, and it's gone under the radar because he plays in Sacramento. It's gone under the radar because he had some rough games against the Warriors last year in the postseason, and so people are kind of out on him. But I think he posted 77 double-doubles on the season. He played in all 82 games. He led the NBA in double-doubles. He led the NBA in triple-doubles. He led the league in rebounding. He finished sixth in the league or seventh in the league in assists per game at 8.2 per game. He really is just a phenomenal all-around player. You know, you can complain that he doesn't block shots or that he doesn't shoot enough from the perimeter, but, you know, that's what the other four guys on the court are for when you have a guy who just does everything. The other thing about him is that him and Jonas Valanciunas just have this, you know, this very tight bond. They are players that play for the Lithuanian national team. They know each other very well. I think Valanciunas plays better against Sabonis than anyone in the league. And that's because he gets up for that matchup. So he's a bigger, more physical, you know, version, but certainly doesn't have all the skill set that Sabonis has. I got to tell you guys, he's a gem to cover. He's a really, really nice guy, but watching him go out every single night, he gets hit in the head every single game. He just gets battered and bruised, but he's also a guy who, when you get done playing him, you need an ice bath. He's just a warrior, and so he's been a joy to cover the last couple of years.
No, I mean, you mentioned it right there as well, James. Like, the double-doubles, the triple-doubles, these numbers are ridiculous, and as you said, he doesn't get enough coverage. I think that he's, you know, an all-pro level center. So I just don't know. I like Sabonis a lot. I think that it's an interesting matchup. The one thing that you might need to keep an eye on is the amount of minutes that Jonas gets. Maybe without Zion, he'll see some more minutes, but it just seems like since the All-Star break, yes, he's been starting games, but Willie Green and the Pelicans coaching staff, they'll take him out pretty quickly, and then he just doesn't see the floor. They like going with kind of smaller ball units, which I think is going to be a kind of interesting matchup to watch for and see if the Pels do it to kind of match, you know, maybe some intensity that the Kings can bring them with their pace. So with Jonas being kind of a slower player, I could maybe see that as well, but it'll be something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, the Pelicans have, you know, just an ability to get up and down the court. And, like, look, their depth is incredible. So every time you think you shut the faucet off with somebody, then you see somebody else step forward. I would just – the one sort of key matchup I'd watch for you guys is C.J. McCollum has busted up the Kings quite a few times this season.
Yep.
But Keon Ellis and the way he played Steph Curry – on Tuesday, the way he's played since taking over as a starter, he is absolutely a joy to watch. He played with Herb Jones at Alabama. They're, you know, they have that same sort of grit, the long athletic guy who fights through a screen like you can't believe. So watch for that matchup, because I think if the Kings can take away CJ or at least slow him down like they did with Steph Curry on Tuesday, it does make it makes that that New Orleans team a lot more one-dimensional.
James, definitely appreciate the time. Thanks for your information on the Kings as we get ready for this big matchup tomorrow. Are we going to see you in the Smoothie King Center, or are you back home?
I'm back home. It was just too late to make the travel arrangements to get out there. It's not easy. There are no direct flights to New Orleans from Sacramento.
Understood. Like I said, thank you, and we hopefully be talking to you soon.
Thanks, James.
Sounds good, guys.
James Hamm covers the Kings for ESPN 1320 in Sacramento. Also, you can get his stuff on thekingsbeat.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.